الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله صف سیدی فرمائیں اللہ اکبر الله أكبر سبحان ربي سمع الله لمن حمده الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الطيبات والسلام الله أكبر الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سبحان الله. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر استغفر محترم حضرات، جیسا کہ ظہر میں بھی اعلان ہوا ہے، مسجد اقبال مانچسٹر اس کا چندہ ہے، مسجد کو خریدا جا رہا ہے، اینڈ دے نیڈ اباؤٹ 300,000 pounds ارجنٹلی، سو وی ریکویسٹ آل دی برادرز اینڈ سسٹرز لسننگ ایٹ ہوم پلیز ڈونیٹ جنرسلی ٹو ڈونیٹ ون مسلح، میننگ دی اسپیس آف ون مسلح، اٹ از 1,400 pounds، سو پلیز ڈونیٹ جنرسلی ود یور اللہ ڈونیشنز. اور دوسرا زہر میں بھی یہ اعلان ہوا تھا کہ جو حضرات عمرے میں جاتے ہیں ان کے لیے بہترین موقع ہے، آج ہمارے یہاں شیخ سلیمان بلبل جو مکہ مکرمہ میں رہتے ہیں آئے ہوئے ہیں، اور آپ کو انشاءاللہ پریپریشن سے لے کر آل دا وے اب انٹل زیارات اور ریٹرن ہوم انشاءاللہ عمرے کے سلسلے میں پوری معلومات آپ کے سامنے وضاحت فرمائیں گے. آپ سے گزارش ہے کہ تشریف رکھیں انشاءاللہ. آفٹر دا ریمیننگ دعا we are going to have a program with Sheikh Sulaiman Bulbul, who lives in Makkah Mukarrama, and he is going to inshallah take you through to the journey, the beautiful journey of Umrah. So please remain seated and listen to the Sheikh. Jazakumullah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا سهل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله. آ جاؤ بھائی سارے ساتھی قریب آ جاؤ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين وقال تعالى لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة صدق الله العظيم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا اللهم إني أعوذ بك من أن أشرك بك وأنا أعلم وأستغفرك بما لم أعلم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته.
The past month, thousands of people from all over this country, all over England, flocked towards the center of the earth, the heart of the earth. Millions of people from all over the world, they went to the special, spiritual, sacred, beautiful, blessed, beloved city of Makkah Mukarramah. And many have started returning as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the hajj, ziyarat, ibadat. May Allah ta'ala grant them all hajj mabrur. May Allah ta'ala take us all as well and grant us hajj mabrur as well. The journey to the Haramain, whether it's for hajj or umrah, and the love of the Haramain, the love of Masjidul Haram, Masjidul Nabawi, the Kaaba, is something which should be instilled in the hearts of every single Muslim. It's a requirement of deen that we have love for all those things which hold great value in our deen of Islam. And the true love of Allah Ta'ala requires the true love of our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if we claim to have the true love of our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we will love everything that is connected to our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's a principle of love that when someone has true love for another, then anything connected to the beloved becomes beloved too. When Majnu, her true love for Layla. Then he showed his love for Layla by loving anything and everything connected to Layla. One of his famous couplets, Amuru ala diari diari Layla, wa uqabbilu dhal jidari wa dhal jidara, that I pass by the gullies of Layla, I kiss this wall and that wall. وَمَا حُبُّ الدِّيَارِ شَغَفْنَ قَلْبِي وَلَكِنْ حُبُّ مَنْ سَكَنَ الدِّيَارَ. It is not the love of these bricks. I'm not kissing the walls because I have love for the bricks that these walls are made out of. No, but it is the love of the beloved living behind these walls. So because these are the walls where Layla lives, that's why I love the walls as well. Anything connected to the beloved becomes beloved. When a dog would pass by, he would show a lot of honor, respect to the dog, love to the dog. People saying, you're crazy. He said, no, you don't understand. This isn't an ordinary dog. This dog has passed by my beloved. So this dog becomes beloved to me as well. If we claim to have the true love of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then anything and everything connected to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will also be beloved to us. And the Haramain, Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, these are places that were beloved to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 53 years of his life he lived in Makkah Mukarrama. Many incidents took place in Makkah Mukarrama in the beautiful seerah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Medina Munawwara, the place where after entering Medina Munawwara, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was showered with love, honor, respect, from which the message of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spread and prospered throughout. Far and wide, the Ansar of the Medina, they welcomed the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam along with all the Muhajirun. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved these places. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was driven out of Makkah after 53 years, his hometown, where he's born, bred, where his family, friends are, and he lived a rightful life there, yet these people are driving him out. As he was leaving Makkah, he was turned around to Makkah. He said, oh Makkah, you are the most beloved place to me. If it was not for my people driving me out, I would never have left you. The pain Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through for leaving Makkah Mukarramah. And then after going to Medina Munawwara, as I said, he loved Medina Munawwara. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the Qibla, then this was consoling Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because after going to Medina Munawwara, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept remembering Makkah Mukarramah, kept remembering the Kaaba. So by changing the Qibla, this consoled Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that daily in his prayers he will be facing Makkah, his beloved city of Makkah Mukarramah. He'll be facing the blessed Kaaba. This is the love he had. If we claim to have true love for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should feel that true love in our hearts for the Haramain. If we have true love for the Haramain, our hearts will always be yearning to go to see the Haramain. No matter how, if we've been before or not, or how many times we've been before. Most definitely, if we've been before, those who have seen, they know, they witness that it's a feeling which you just want again. And when leaving the Haramain, you straight away start thinking, when can I return again? So in this world, there are many people, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who yearn to go to the Haramain. They do have this love. They have this importance, reverence for the Haramain. And throughout their life, they work hard. They try to get the means to earn the money for the Umrah, for Hajj. But sadly, they pass away in this condition that they do not get the means and they are unable to see the Haramain even once in a lifetime. They are unable to step foot in Masjidul Haram even once in a lifetime. They are unable to see the Kaaba even once in a lifetime. Why? Because they just genuinely do not have the means. So this is one group of people they are unable to see because they don't have the means. They have that yearning, they have that love, reference, importance. But then there's many others, thousands of others who have the means. Allah has given them the means. They may have the means for many decades. They may be in their 30s, 40s, 50s, even 60s. Many people I know myself, they've had the means for many years. But every time you speak to them about Umrah, about Hajj, one excuse or another. Either they say, oh, we want to go and our children grow up. We want our children to go with us. So they're a bit young, when they grow up, then I'll go. Or they say, when my extension gets sorted, when my business gets better, or they say, you know what, all these people, they go for Umrah, come back, their Umrah is useless. They just live their normal life. When I go for Umrah, my Umrah will be different. My Umrah will make me change my whole life around and make a U-turn, and my Umrah will be special. So they're waiting to become more pious, then they'll go to do their Umrah. So these are just wasawis from shaitan, stopping us from going to the Haramain. So from the 6 points I'd like to mention today regarding the Haramain, the first point is that we need to instill the true love of the Haramain in our hearts, the importance, the reverence of the Haramain. And this is a requirement of deen. This is a requirement of the true love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And read virtues, importance regarding the Haramain. Think about it. In the Haram, in Makkah Mukarramah, any salah is multiplied by 100,000 times. Imagine that. Now, when you read 2 rakats, how long will the 2 rakats take you? Around? Maybe 2 minutes? Yeah? And when you read those 2 rakats here right now, what reward will you get? The reward of 2 rakats. When you read those same 2 rakats in the Haram, how much reward are you going to get for 2 rakats? Multiply by 100,000 times, the reward of 200,000 rakats. How much would 200,000 rakats take you? 200,000 minutes. How many ever hours it is, but on 200,000 minutes roughly it would take you. Imagine that. Just for reading 2 rakats, you get the reward of 200,000. So such great is the Haram, Masjidul Haram, Masjidul Nabawi, the Haramain. So the first point is that we need to instill the true love of the Haramain in our hearts. We need to have the importance and reverence for the Haramain in our hearts. And then the second point is, after having that true love, after having that importance, reverence of the Haramain, then we need to use the means that Allah has given us. Sometimes people, they get the means, but they use the wealth Allah has given them to go here, there, everywhere, all around the world, and then they come back and say, oh, I'd love to go for Umrah, but I do not have the money for it. They keep spending it as it comes, they keep spending it to go here, there, everywhere, all around the world. But then when it comes to Umrah, then they say, oh, unfortunately, I don't have the means to go. They want to go eat fine dining everywhere, here, there, show it on their social media that, yeah, look, I'm eating out at nice places, nice food, fine dining, wearing the latest gear, the designer clothing and all that. But they don't think about saving for going for Umrah, going for Hajj. If we had the true love of the Haramain, if we had that yearning, that bond connection with the Kaaba, that we want to go to see it, then the means that Allah gives us, we would try to utilize it in the correct manner and save up for the means. Save up for Umrah, save up for Hajj. So the first point is that we need that true love, importance, reverence for the Haramain. Second point is, once we get that importance in our hearts, once we get that true love, then we need to use the means that Allah has given us. Try to gather up the means. For some people it may be more difficult, it may take longer, some people it may be easier, but utilize the means Allah has given you. And some Hajj, obviously, if a person can save up enough to go for Hajj, then that is compulsory. Once you get the means to go for Hajj, then that's compulsory, you have to go for Hajj. But then there are some people, their circumstances are such that they cannot save up for Hajj. It seems very impossible for them to try to save up for Hajj. But then that does not mean they just give up. No. Try to at least save up for Umrah, because there's a big price difference between Umrah and Hajj. If it seems like there's no way you can save up for Hajj, at least save up for Umrah then. Umrah you can even get done in a few £100. You don't have to go in most expensive airlines or get the 5-star hotels and that. Even some 4-star, 3-star hotels are good. At least you get to go to see the Kaaba. You get to step foot in Masjidul Haram. And once you do that, then naturally, inshallah, you'll get that zeal. to go more. Once you come back, then you'll make even more effort, and inshallah, Allah will give you the means to go for Hajj as well. But take that first step, because there are still many, many people, whether those who are listening or those who are listening, their friends and families, you can go and try to speak, encourage them. There are many people who still have not been. And they have many different fears. They have misunderstandings, misconceptions. We need to, first of all, instill the true love, importance and reverence. And the second point is, we need to use the means to be able to go to the Haramain. Now, after the first two points are done, we've got the true love, importance, reverence for the Haramain. We've used the means. We've got the means to go for Umrah or Hajj. Then, the third point is that we need to do those two important actions which need to be done before any other action, which need to be done before any opportunity, any blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. So the third point is not only very important for Umrah, but for every action in your life. Remember this. For every action in your life, when Allah gives you any opportunity, any blessing, He gives you the tawfiq of any action, then these two points you need to keep in mind. What are these two points? The first one is intention. Correct your intention and make as many good intentions as possible. Intention is so important that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, many other muhaddithun, in their compilations of thousands of ahadith, the first hadith they put is إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ, that verily actions are dependent on intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِمْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, for every person is that which he or she intends. There could be four people doing the exact same action. The first person is doing it with one good, sincere intention. That person will get that reward according to that sincere intention. Now the second person is doing the same action, same time, same effort, but five good intentions. This person's reward will be multiplied. Third person's actually doing that same action without any intention at all, just doing it for the sake of it. No reward at all. Time wasted. Effort, energy wasted. And the fourth person is doing the same action with a bad intention. This person could be getting sin for the same action. So in this scenario, we see four people. To us, their action looks exact same, and we may think that they're all getting the same reward. But no, there's difference in the amount of reward. And then there's difference between getting reward and not getting reward. And there's difference between getting reward and actually getting sin. Why? What is the difference? What makes it different? What's the differentiating factor here? The action is the same. What is it? The intention. So that shows the power of intention. How important intention is. That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali," that the intention of a believer is greater than the actual action. So we need to ensure that our intentions are correct, and we make as many good intentions as possible for any action and every action. Now, the first most important intention we need to make for all actions is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should be done for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala, not to come back and say, oh, you know, I've done 8 umrahs, I've done 9, I've been 10 times for umrah, I've do hajj every single year, just to boast to people. No. Every action should be for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah, to acquire the closeness and friendship of Allah Ta'ala. So that is the first important intention. Secondly, for Umrah, another intention could be to attract the mercy, maghfirat, forgiveness, blessings of Allah Ta'ala. Now, any person, in any place, at any time, can attract the mercy, blessings, maghfirat, forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. But certain times, certain places, certain actions draw more mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawwara are from these places. In front of the Kaaba are from these places. Whilst a person is performing Umrah, is from these actions which attract more maghfirat, more blessings, mercies, maghfirat, rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So another intention we make is that we are going for Umrah because during our Umrah, we're going to make strong, sincere repent, tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and attract the maghfirat of Allah ta'ala, the rahmat of Allah ta'ala, the blessings of Allah ta'ala, and make a U-turn, that for the rest of our lives, our life will go according to the pleasure of Allah ta'ala, according to the commandments of Allah ta'ala. So this is another intention we make, that in our Umrah we want to utilize this opportunity to make a U-turn. And you can continue living your life, doing the things you need to do, but it's just in accordance to the will of Allah ta'ala. Another intention is learning regarding the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, in the Quran, Allah ta'ala has said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that verily for you, in the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a perfect example. Allah's given us the best role model ever to come on earth. Yet nowadays, we see Muslims looking at fusaq, fujar, pop stars, actors, actresses, football players, cricket players, looking at their lifestyle, trying to copy their lifestyle, their hairstyle, their walk, talk, copy their dress sense. Why? When Allah's given us the best role model ever. People know more about these fusaq, fujar, than they know about our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is this our claim of true love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How will we teach our children regarding the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It is our duty to ensure that our children know regarding the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our stay is such that we know more about these fusaq, fujar, what they eat, when they do exercise, what type of exercise they do, where they go, what their schedule is, about their family. We know all these things about them more than we know about our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How are we going to pass this knowledge of the seerah onto our next generation? How will this knowledge of the seerah continue in our progeny if we do not know ourselves? So we need to learn regarding the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. None of you can be a true and perfect believer until I become more beloved to him or her than his or her parents, children, and entire mankind. We need that true love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as my honorable Sheikh Salim Dawrat Hafizahullah, he always reminds us that the love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, true love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the requirement of deen. And what is true love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Not just mere lip service, saying, oh, I'm ashiqi rasul. Anyone can claim that. Not just mere lip service, you show it with your actions, ittiba'i sunnah, acting upon the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, how can you act upon the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam if you don't know about the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So we must all learn regarding the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, how can you learn about the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What can you do to learn about the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? All of you must have learnt about the seerah. Some of you may still be learning about the seerah. How can you learn about the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? One way is reading. Yeah? Reading authentic literature. Speak to your imams, speak to the local scholars. Ask them, tell them you want to learn about the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which book should you read? The benefit of that is they'll ensure that you read something which is authentic, and they'll make you read something which is suited for you. Maybe if you're a beginner, they'll direct you to a smaller book. So one way is reading regarding the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the second way is listening to the imam, listening to the scholars' durus, listening to the ustad in the madrasa, listening to the lecturer in the course. MashaAllah, in Blackburn you are very fortunate. There are many masajid, many Islamic institutes, and they provide these services. The imma, the scholars, they provide these services of teaching us the deen through the Durusul Quran, Durusul Ahadith, the gatherings, the courses, the madaris. So take benefit. Many people around the world do not have such opportunities of learning deen. But the problem is that when people are given opportunities, blessings, then they do not get the value. Here we have a lot of facilities. We have a lot of opportunities of learning deen, but we do not value it as much, and we do not take the benefit as we should. So take benefit from the scholars. Learn the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will definitely benefit you in the hereafter, but it will benefit you and your family in this world as well. So how many ways are there to learn regarding the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How many? Two. One is reading, and second is listening. There's a third way which is even better. لَيْسَ الْخَبْرُ كَالْمُعَيَنَةِ There is no better way of getting news and information than seeing with your own eyes. Now in Blackburn, can you see the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with your own eyes? No. When you go to the beautiful, blessed, beloved city of Makkah Mukarrama, the special, sacred, spiritual city of Medina Munawwara, then with your own eyes you will see the places where important incidents took place in the beautiful seerah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You'll be standing there visualizing that this is where it actually happened. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by here. This is what he did. This is what happened. Creating that deeper feeling, bond, connection with the seerah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Creating that zeal to learn more about the seerah. So when we come back home, we learn more about the seerah, we act upon the sunnah and spread it to others as well. So this should be another intention, that we want to learn regarding the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Get the deeper understanding of the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another intention is that on our journey of Umrah, we will learn that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, they went through a lot of difficulties, hardships, for the sake of preserving deen. Now through their sacrifices, deen has reached us in its pure perfect form. We do not need to go through those difficulties. But the least we can do is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a bit of test, a bit of difficulty, then we endure it for the sake of deen. Nowadays, we are so accustomed to our luxuries, so accustomed to being given everything on the plate, so accustomed to having things done our way with our comfort, that when anything different happens, we just cannot bear it. Even if it's in the path of deen, even if it's in the journey of Umrah and Hajj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-safaru qit'atun min al-adhab, that any traveling is a part of punishment, meaning that when you go travel, you'll go through some kind of difficulty or another. No matter how much you plan, no matter how much your travel agent plans, but there will be some kind of hardship here and there. And the journey of Umrah and Hajj, that's definitely a journey of mujahada, a journey of sabr. But many people, in their journey, they cannot bear any little difficulty. When we look back at those people who used to go for Umrah before, just going a century back, when they used to travel for Umrah, they would be traveling for weeks and months. And not the AC vehicles that we travel in, not the comfy seating that we have, they would be on the animal. Scorching heat, we can't bear a few minutes of it. Throughout the day, for weeks and months, they would be in that scorching heat. Bumpy ride over the sand dunes, over the pebbles, the rocky terrain. But they would do that for the sake of deen, to carry out the Umrah. They would have to stay in tents, which would sometimes be too cold, sometimes too hot. They'd be carrying their tents, pitching it up. We stay in five-star luxurious hotels. 4-star, even 3-star is good. But we still moan and groan, complain over petty things. Literally have people staying in 5-star hotels saying, nah, you know what, the carpet's not comfy enough. The tile design is not good. The sink shape is not good. They're only here for a few days to do their Umrah, to do their Hajj, and they're complaining of these petty little things. When they used to travel, sometimes, as I said, they would have to first of all work hard, earn the money, and then they would set off traveling to go for Umrah. Sometimes during their journey, their money would run out. So wherever their money would run out, they would have to stop there, start working, earn money for the rest of their journey. And they would have limited supply of food, limited supply of water. We have whatever, as much water as we want, as cold as we want, whatever type of food, any cuisine, 24 hours round the clock. Yeah, you still get people complaining about food, about things, and there's a lot of wastage as well. That's another point as well. We waste so much as it is here when we in the, on our journey of Umrah and Hajj as well. People waste too much. Instead of thanking Allah for the blessings that millions of people around the world do not have. They do not have the type of food we have. Majority of us, any time we feel like having a certain type of food, we can just have it. We can have as much of the food as we want. Yeah, how thankful are we to Allah Ta'ala? And how much do we forget about being thankful? On the other side, we waste so much. And in our journey of Umrah and Hajj as well, we waste so much. It's another point, we should not waste at all. So we have whatever food we want, but yet people are complaining. So in the journey of Umrah and Hajj, you can't have everything happening exactly as you want. And in Umrah, there's hundreds of thousands of people. In Hajj, millions of people. It can't be possible. And you will get some characters over there. You get people from all over the world. All types of people. Some people will push the limit. They'll test your patience. But especially whilst we are in Ihram, whilst we are in Masjidul Haram, in the Haramain, we should try to abide by the etiquettes of the Haramain. Yeah, we should try our best to do sabr, because a lot of times people do and say wrong things to us. And it will get you worked up, but remind yourself that no, you're in the condition of Ihram. You are in the middle of Umrah. You are in the Haramain. So may Allah grant me and all of you the tawfiq to do as much sabr as we can, especially during our Umrah, our Hajj. So what I was mentioning are the intentions that we need to have. First, most important intention for any action, and every action is the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Another intention I mentioned is that we want to have the true tawbah, attract the maghfirat, rahmat, barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third intention, we want to learn regarding the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, create that deeper bond and connection. Fourth intention is that we realize that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companion went through a lot of difficulties, hardships for the sake of deen. So we inshallah give deen that importance in our lives as well. So from the 6 points I'm mentioning today, I was on the third point. The first point was having the true love, reverence, importance of the Haramain. Second point was, after you get the love of the Haramain, we need to get the means to go. Third point was, after you get the means, the first thing you have to do, like you have to do for every action, is two things. Correct your intention, make as many intentions as possible. And number two, understand and realize it's the blessing of Allah and do shukr. Many a times people think that, oh, it's from my hard work and effort I've acquired this. No. There could be 3-4 people making the same effort, working the same time, exerting the same hard work, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives different results to different people. The results are in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. So we should always bear in mind that it is never from our own doings. It is always from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala wants, then with having all the means, He will not give you. And if Allah Ta'ala wants, then without having any means, Allah Ta'ala could give you. So always bear in mind, it's the blessing of Allah Ta'ala. And we can never fulfill the rights of the shukr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But the least we can do is try to do shukr to the best of our ability. My Honorable Sheikh Salim Dorat Hafizullah always reminds us to do shukr to the best of your ability. You need to do all three parts of shukr. How many parts of shukr are there? Three. First part of shukr is shukr of the heart and mind. That with your heart and mind, you understand, realize and tell yourself that this is a blessing of Allah. It is not from my own doings. Despite my effort, despite me using the means, if Allah wanted, He wouldn't have given me. It's through the sheer grace and mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So the first shukr, part of shukr, is shukr of the heart and mind. The second part of shukr is shukr of the tongue. Talk to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Ya Allah, You've given me this blessing. I'm not worthy of it, but You've given me. Ya Allah, grant me the tawfiq of utilizing it in the correct manner. So the second part of shukr is shukr of the tongue. The third part of shukr is shukr of the actions, that the blessings that Allah has given us, we utilize them in the correct manner, thus thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our actions. If you do all three parts of shukr, then inshallah we will be doing shukr to the best of our ability. As I said, we can never fulfill the rights of shukr, but we will be doing shukr to the best of our ability. So this was the third point from the 6 points, that before any action, especially Umrah, but any other action, two things we need to do, that is correct the intention, make as many intentions as possible, and also we need to understand and realize the blessing of Allah and do shukr. So from the 6 points, how many points have been mentioned? Three. Once we have the true love of the Haramain, importance, reverence, then we get the means to go. After having the means, first thing we need, have done, we've corrected our intentions sincerely for the sake of Allah and made enough other good intentions so we get more benefit, and we've understood it's the blessing of Allah, done shukr to Allah, then you have to make your preparation. You have to prepare to go. Now, the problem in preparation is that too many people, after all that hard work, effort, time, finally the time comes to go for Umrah, but all their time, effort is exerted in the physical preparation. They look at the different types of airlines, how comfortable the seating is, how much space they get in the plane, what type of food they get in the plane, how many passengers there are in the plane, what the stopover times, every little detail. The different hotels, the distance inside the room, how big it is, how the bathroom in the hotel is, how the other facilities are, how the breakfast buffet is at the hotel, what the beds are like, everything. All the tiny little details for the physical preparation. But when it comes to the main thing, the spiritual preparation, nothing. Nothing at all. It's not a holiday that we are going to. Yes, you need to try to make the journey comfortable. You need to try to plan out so the journey is at ease for you and your family. But that does not mean that all the effort just goes towards the physical preparation, and in the spiritual preparation, nothing. Too many people, they come for Umrah. They do not know the basics of Umrah. So the fourth point, again, very important. We must make spiritual preparation. And in that, there are 2 points. First of all, we need to learn regarding the masail of Umrah, of Hajj. And we need to learn regarding the procedure of Umrah and Hajj. Go to your imam, go to the scholars, ask them that which book shall I read to learn how to perform Umrah, to learn how to perform Hajj. And the book they instruct you, go through the book. Read every part carefully so you're understanding it properly. If need be, after you finish the whole book, then read over it again. And wherever you have any doubts, any questions, make a list of the questions and go to your imam, go to the scholars, ask the questions. It's very important we get everything cleared and we have full understanding of the procedure of Umrah and Hajj before we leave. This is not just a little thing that, you know, we can do anytime, every time. No. The opportunity does not come as much. So when Allah gives you the opportunity, go do it. But try to utilize the time properly. Try to use the opportunity in the correct manner. And prepare properly so you can do your Umrah and your Hajj properly. So in the fourth point is, you, along with the physical preparations, we also need to do the spiritual preparations. And in that, the first point is, learn about the procedure of Umrah Hajj, learn about the masail. And the second point is, learn about the seerah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ask the scholars that, look, I want to learn about the seerah, what book should I read? When you learn about the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you go for Umrah. You've got some understanding of the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then you go to Makkah, Mukarramah, you go to Medina, Munawwara, in the ziyarah, you are told that, oh, this is the place where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked past, and then this is the mountain where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went up, this is the cave where he spent 3 nights and 2 days, then you'll be physically visualizing that, look, this is where it actually happened. You'll get even more closer bond connection with the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You'll get a better understanding if you learn about the seerah from before, and then you go there and in ziyarah you are sure that this is what's happened, what happened here, what happened there. So this is another point of spiritual preparation that we need to learn regarding the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Learn regarding the background of the actions of Umrah, of the actions of Hajj. So, from the 6 points, 4 points being mentioned. Number one, true love of the Haramain, importance and reverence of the Haramain. Number two, after having that, we need to utilize, we need to get the means to go. Number three, after getting the means, we need to do those two actions, which must be done before all actions, that is, intention, and as many good intentions as possible, and also shukr, and all three parts of shukr. And after you've done that initial thing, then you have to make your preparations. But along with the physical preparations, we need to do the spiritual preparations. And in that, there was 2 points as well, that you learn about the masail and the procedure, and you learn about the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the background of the actions of Umrah and all that. Now you've done that, it's time to go. Now once, as soon as you set off for your journey, from beginning till end, this is a very sacred journey, very special journey. We keep reminding yourself. You know the two actions of intention and shukr, that's something you do at the beginning of an action and throughout the whole action till the end. That you will continue. And apart from that, throughout your whole journey, keep reminding yourself that, you know, this is a great blessing of Allah. So many people around the world, they yearn to go, but they just can't go. They are unable to go. Allah has given me the opportunity to go. It's a great blessing. Engage yourself in dhikr, engage yourself in dua, engage yourself in recitation of durood. Make targets that this is how many durood I want to read by the time I reach Madinah Munawwara. This is how many times I want to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to utilize your time properly, you have to make a timetable, a schedule, and make targets. If you don't, or if you even think, okay, when I get to Makkah, I'll make a timetable, it won't happen. You'll get to Makkah, you'll do your Umrah, and then 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, or 7 days will pass by, and it'll be time to go. And when you reflect back on your time in Makkah, it'll be, sadly, a lot of time's been wasted. So from before, the fifth point is that utilize your time correctly throughout your journey. But for that, what is compulsory? You need to make a timetable, a schedule, to be able to monitor yourself, to be able to keep yourself grounded, to be able to ensure that you utilize as much time as possible. So then as soon as you set off, then you have a timetable, you have targets of how many times you want to read Durood Sharif in a day, how many times you want to do Tasbihat in a day, how much Tilawat you want to do in a day. Keep yourself grounded, have targets, reflect upon your targets, and throughout your whole journey, keep pondering upon everything. The actions that you are doing, the actions of Hajj, the background of it, wherever you go, think about the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Utilize your time properly. Sadly, there's so many people who come for Umrah. Yeah, after many years, they finally come for Umrah. And then, when they come to Makkah, they do their Umrah, and then go to the hotel, and that's it. The rest of the 5-7 days, majority of the time goes here and there, not in Masjidul Haram. He goes in having this food, that food, going to the different restaurants because they need to put it on the social media that look, I saw all these food places on social media, now I've gone there myself and I've eaten this. Is that why you've gone? To show the world that, yes, I'm eating here and there. And whilst I'm saying that, it reminds me that we are not even going there to show the world that we are worshipping Allah. People doing like dua pose to show the world that they're doing that. It's not even dua. What is dua? Dua is talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah? And people are doing a dua pose that is a pose in which they're not even doing dua, but they're just doing that to try to show the people, I'm in front of the Kaaba and I'm doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that what dua is? Connecting to the rest of the world? We're right there in front of the Kaaba. We are in the Masjidul Haram. And that place, if we cannot connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and instead we're using it to connect to the world, then how deprived are we? So utilize your time in the correct manner. Utilize every moment in the Quran. And for that, you need to have a set timetable. You need to make a schedule from before. If you don't do it from before, then your time will be wasted. So as I said, so many people come, their time is wasted in the restaurants, in going, finding this food, that food, going to the malls, too much time. Buying this, buying that. Showing people that, oh yeah, I've got this perfume as well, I've got that perfume. Or worse than that, nowadays, a lot of people, they're coming to bring back suitcase full of perfumes so they can make some profit on that. Now, I'm not saying any of these actions in itself are wrong, but what I am saying is that if someone is going all the way to Makkah for Umrah, they're going there, the Masjidul Haram is there, the Kaaba is there, which you don't get at home. But instead of spending time in Masjidul Haram, instead of spending time in doing tawaf, instead of spending time as close as possible to the Kaaba, when majority of your time in Makkah Mukarramah is spent in the malls, in the restaurants, then that is being deprived. So, yes, you can go do shopping. You can go eat and that, but make a timetable. So the Masjidul Haram should be your center point. Your main importance should be for Masjidul Haram. Spend as much time as possible in Masjidul Haram. But then, when you need to go to eat, you go to eat. When you need to go to the washroom, go to sleep, go to your hotel. And when you need to do shopping, do shopping. But when you need to, remember, if you don't make a shopping list, there are thousands of things you can buy there. You can spend hours and hours every day, every night there, and you still won't get all the things. You'll buy this, you'll buy that, you'll buy that, you'll buy that. No, make a list that, look, these are the things I really need to get. You can do enough shopping here, you can have enough food over here, but you cannot look at the Kaaba over here. You cannot do tawaf over here. You cannot read in the haram over here. So make a list of necessary things that you need to buy and set a time that on this day, these few hours is for the shopping. I will go and buy this that I need to get. That's it. So then you can try to control yourself from wasting time. May Allah grant me and all of you the tawfiq. So the fifth point was to utilize our time in the correct manner. It's very important. It's very sad to see when people come and they do all that. And the thing is, you know that at the end of the day, when they go back home, they are going to regret it. When they reflect on their Umrah journey, that Allah took them there after all that time, and how much time was spent in Masjidul Haram? Hardly any. So inshallah, if we try to follow these points, then our journey will be much more fruitful, much more beneficial. And after the fifth point, the sixth point, and the last point is also very important, and that is to not just leave it all there. When we go for Hajj, when you go for Umrah, don't just leave it there. Bring back the lessons with you for the rest of your life. Make it a changing point, a turning point. That this is the point of your life where your life has totally changed through the blessing of the Umrah, through the blessing of the Hajj. The lessons you learn from the Seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, take it with you and learn more about the Seerah, learn more about the Sunnah. Act upon yourself, teach your children, teach your family, spread it to others. When you did the Umrah, when you did the Hajj, then you pondered upon the actions, that what is the background of the actions. And a lot of the background is from the Seerah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And many lessons you get from the Seerah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But one of the main lessons, submission. Submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah ta'ala's will comes, then come what may, whether we like you or not, whether we understand you or not, we have to act upon it. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was young, what happened? He saw that his father, the elders, they were doing wrong. Now, he did not shy away from saying the truth. Truth, right is right, wrong is wrong. If a junior, if a senior is doing something wrong, someone elder, someone we love, someone we honor and respect, wrong is wrong. If a child is doing something right, saying something right, right is right. So right is right, wrong is wrong, no matter who it is. Nowadays, you have two extremes. When something wrong is being done or said in the family, in the community, then you get one extreme of people, they just don't want to say anything. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us that when you see or hear something wrong, then you need to try to stop it with your actions first of all. If you have the ability, you need to stop it with your actions. But not everyone has the ability to stop it with their actions. So if you're in a situation where you cannot stop it with your action, then stop it with your words, verbally stop it. That this is wrong, no, this should not be done, this should not be said. But if you do not even have the ability to do that, then the least level of iman is that you have that feeling in your heart that this is not good, this is bad. So one extreme we get nowadays is people, they see wrong, they hear wrong, but silent. That, or if I go to say something, then they will not like. If I go to say something, it's my elder, they'll tell me off, or there'll be this nuksan, this harm for me or something. So it's best just keeping it sweet with them, that's it. No, this is wrong. And then you get the other extreme that when people see something wrong, they just start getting angry. They shout down, oh, why are you doing this? You should be doing this. No. You can, there's adab of Amr bil Ma'ruf Nahi Anil Munkar. Ibrahim alayhi salam showed us both points. It was his father who he loved, he honored, he respected. The elders of the community. Now, number one, he loved his father. He had honor, respect for his father. Number two, by saying this to the elders of the community, harm could come to him. And yes, they did plan to harm him. But he was not scared of that. But on the other side, when he went to say, with love, with kindness, Ya Abadi, oh my beloved father, why are you worshipping the idols? Do they bring you any benefit? Do they feed you? Explaining to him nicely. So this is an extra lesson we learn regarding Amr bil Ma'ruf, Nahi Anil Munkar. But then these people, they did not listen. And they threw him into the blazing hot flames. But he had submission to the will of Allah Ta'ala. Come what may, Allah Ta'ala is there. Allah Ta'ala will assist me. My life is for Allah Ta'ala. He walked out of the blazing flames like a walk in the park. And then his family gone, friends gone, community gone, banished from the land. Many years later, he got his wife Hajra alayhi salam. And after many, many years, finally Allah gave him a son, baby Ismail. But then Allah says, from Palestine, go all the way to Makkah. What is in Makkah? What was in Makkah at that time? Nothing. Just deserts and mountains. Logically, can we understand why take your baby and your wife all the way there? Imagine in them days, traveling, difficult. And worse than that, when he got to Makkah, what was he told to do? Leave his wife with the baby Ismail and go. Where is he leaving them? Where there's no food, no drop of water, nothing. Logically, can you understand? No. Hajar alayhi salam is asking, what are you doing? How come you take us here? Then she just asked, has Allah ordered it? He said, yes. She said, say no more. If Allah's order comes down, then whatever it is, whether we understand you or not, or we like you or not, you have to go according to Ibrahim alayhi salam had submission. Hajar alayhi salam had submission. And then years later, after Ismail alayhi salam grew up to be a young lad, then Ibrahim alayhi salam came back. Ismail alayhi salam was in that position that he could assist his father. But then Allah tested Ibrahim alayhi salam again. And as Allah says in the Quran, that he tested Ibrahim alayhi salam, but he was always successful in his test. He says to his son Ismail alayhi salam, that inni ara fil manam anni adbahuka fanzur madha tara. In my dream I'm seeing that I'm slaughtering you. What do you think? He wanted to see what the thinking is of his son Ismail alayhi salam. He was a mere child, but a wise child. Qala ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar. He said, oh my beloved father, do as you are being ordered. If Allah is telling you to slaughter me, then slaughter me. Whether we like you or not, whether I understand you or not, we have to go according to it. Satajiduni insha'Allahu minas sabirin. Again, he's saying, if Allah wills, you will find me from the patient people. He did not even say, I'm patient, or I will be patient. No, again, directing everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ismail alayhi salam had submission as well. And then when Ibrahim alayhi salam took him, then someone came in front stopping him. What are you doing? How can you slaughter your son? But no, he's not going to take no for an answer. When Allah's will is there, he wants to do it. Somehow or another, he will ensure he'll go according to the will of Allah. He threw 7 pebbles towards the person. Used his means. Yusuf alayhi salam, when Zulaikha locked him up, wanted to do the bad action, he was in a position where logically he could not do anything. The doors are fully locked. No one knows No one can do anything. No one can assist. But what did Yusuf a.s. do? Whatever was in his ability. He ran towards the locked doors. One by one, Allah opened up the locked doors. So it's Ibrahim a.s. He used the means, threw 7 pebbles, got rid of him, took few steps. Same thing happened second time. Same thing happened third time. Allah loved this so much, these actions. And then he took him onto the Jabal-e-Thabir, which is next to the Jamarat, to slaughter Ismail a.s. But Allah did not allow the knife to cut him. This was all just a test. He sent a ram from Jannah and said, slaughter the ram, your sacrifice is accepted. Allah loved all these actions of submission so much. He made Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions do this in Hajjatul Wada. And throughout history, every person doing Umrah has to carry out these actions related to the actions of Hajar al-Islam, related to the actions of Ibrahim al-Islam, to the actions of Ismail al-Islam, reminding us of their submission. Millions of Hujjaj every year, they have to act upon these things. Why? Reminding us of their submission. So this is the lesson we bring back with us from Umrah, from Hajj, that we also want to submit our life to the will of Allah Ta'ala for the rest of our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me and all of you the tawfiq to act upon these 6 points. If we act upon these 6 points, then our journey of Umrah and Hajj will be much more fruitful, much more beneficial. For the rest of our lives, this journey of Umrah and Hajj will benefit us in this world and the hereafter. Will benefit our family, will benefit others as well. So a quick recap of the 6 points. The first point is that we need to have that true love of the Haramain, importance, reverence for the Haramain. And the love of Haramain is a requirement of deen, it's a requirement of the true love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was the first point. The second point is, after having that true love, we need to use the means. Get the means to go for Umrah. And don't use the excuse that, oh, you just spend your money for this, that, everything, and then say, oh, I don't have no money left for Umrah. No, if you have that love, somehow or another, you'll save that money. Number 3, after getting the means, we need to do those 2 actions which we need to do before every single opportunity, blessing and action. What are these 2 things? Intention. Good intention, as many intentions as possible. And second thing is, shukr, and all 3 parts of shukr. Fourth point, after we've done the first important things, then what do we have to do? Prepare for Umrah, prepare for Hajj. Along with the physical preparations, do not neglect the spiritual preparations. And which 2 points did I mention in the spiritual preparation? Learn about the Masai, learn about the procedure of Umrah, Hajj. And second point, learn about the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seerah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Learn about the background of the actions of Umrah and Hajj. And the fifth point, after you've made your preparations, as soon as you set off for your journey, beginning till end, utilize your time properly. Utilize your time properly. Don't waste your time. Don't make this journey just a relaxing holiday, no. And what is a very important point to ensure that you utilize your time? Timetable, schedule, from before. And the 6th point is that after you come back from Hajj, after you come back from Umrah, then do not just leave it there. Bring back the lessons with you so it benefits you for the rest of your life. And a point I'd like to mention here is, you know, in regards to the love of the Haramain and the importance, reverence of the Haramain, I remember my Honorable Sheikh Salim Dorat Hafizullah mentioning that his late father, Hafiz Ibrahim Dorat, rahmatullah alayh, sometimes in the middle of the night, he would be wearing his jacket and going out, and Sheikh would say, what are you doing? It's like so late, it's cold, you're not feeling well, you're old. He said, he would say, that oh, such and such a person is coming back from Umrah. Such and such a person is coming back from Umrah, so I need to say, but why meet right now? You can go in the daytime to meet the person. He said, no. This person is coming directly from the Haramain, from the blessed lands of Makkah, Medina. After doing such a great action of Umrah, before this person enters the house, I want to at least shake this person's hands. I want to at least hug this person, get the blessings before he enters his house. I want to be standing there in front of his house when he comes to give him that honorable welcoming. That was the honor, respect, love they had for the Haramain. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us such love, honor, respect as well. Learn the du'as when someone is coming back from Hajj. It's masnoon du'a, qabilallahu hajjak, wa ghafara dhambak, wa akhlafa nafaqatak. Learn these things, inshallah, it'll benefit you in this world and the hereafter. May Allah ta'ala grant me and all of you the tawfiq. to act upon these points. May Allah grant us the tawfiq to utilize our time correctly in the Haramain. May Allah make us spend as much time as possible in a correct manner in the Haramain. May Allah grant us the tawfiq to safeguard ourselves from transgressing the etiquettes of the Haramain. And when it's our time to breathe our last, then may we be blessed with the blessed soil of the blessed lands. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdih. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. I would like to thank the a'imma, the brothers who made the program happen, the Masjid Committee, for granting me the opportunity of passing on these words of deen in respect to the Haramain. May Allah Ta'ala first of all instill the qadr and the love of the Haramain in my heart, and then all of yours as well. And may Allah grant us tawfiq to act upon all these points so that our journey is truly spiritual, beneficial for us. And I humbly request you to make special dua for me, that Allah's taken me to Makkah, Allah's made me live in Makkah, make dua that Allah keeps me there as well. It's only Allah who can keep me there. And whilst keeping me there, that Allah makes me do the services with ikhlas and istiqamah till my death, so it benefits myself and many others as well. In the next few minutes, I can answer any questions. If anyone has any questions related to Umrah, related to Haramain, then I will try my best to answer the questions, inshallah. Usually it takes the first few minutes of silence, and then once one person says a question, then the questions carry on rolling all the way till, and then after the salah, then people come to ask questions and that. In regards to the question the brother's asking is about being able to wear things with Palestine. So I haven't personally experienced anything or seen anyone anything, but I've heard the same, that people who have worn stuff with the Palestine flag and that they have not allowed that in. So that's as far as I've heard. I haven't personally seen anything. And if that is the case, then my personal advice would be just to refrain from doing anything that would cause any arguments, because then obviously our emotions for the people of Palestine will come out, and then it'll just cause more problems and argument and that, which is best to just refrain from. Because there's no way we will be able to prove our point in anything. We will not be able to make a point. That's the thing. Because they will, if there was a way of bringing some benefit, then that's different, but you will not be able to bring any benefit. You will not be able to make your point. That's the thing.
Last week, the social media has been using regulations about the Umrah visa. Should you think it's for the people in Musuk? Is that just the Umrah visa or the tourist visa?
Yeah, so this is something new that they're coming out with for the Umrah from 2025 to 2026. So before, for the Umrah visas and the tourist visas, people would just book their flights and sometimes go there and book their hotels, or just book any types of hotels from before. But now, as far as I've understood as well, only for the Umrah visas, not tourist visas, but for the Umrah visa, to get the Umrah visa, you need to ensure that through the procedure you book hotels from the hotels of their list, that the hotels that are affiliated with them. You need to book the hotel, you need to show them not only hotel, proof, you have to also show them proof of transport, your whole journey, that from Jeddah to Makkah, how your journey is from Medina to from Makkah to Medina, whichever way you're going. So they have your whole journey and proof of your whole journey there. That's for the Umrah visas. The tourist visa, the tourist visa still allows you to do tourism anywhere around Saudi Arabia. You go to do Umrah and your own business that you want to do.
Is an organization
they do have organizations that you can give your zakat, sadqah, and that. And that goes into the government, that's government organization. They distribute according to how they want to distribute to whoever they want to distribute it to. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go to the most needy people, but they will distribute it how they want to. So in the clock tower as well, upstairs in the clock tower on the Musalla floor, they have stores over there taking donations of sadqah, zakat, and that. And there are people who take sadqah, zakat to give it to more poor people as well, which I know of as well. So in terms of the actual official sadqah, zakat distribution from the government, you can give that to them as well, but then they'll distribute it according to how they want to. Any other questions?
You need to vaccination for the Umrah.
Ajay?
Vaccination for the Umrah.
They stopped the vaccination for the Umrah. But before you go, if someone is planning on going after a month or so or something like that, then regarding the vaccination and regarding the requirement for the hotel and that, you'll know when for the visa, you'll know whether you've got your visa or not. But for the vaccination, do find out if you're planning on going a month later, 2 months later, because last year what happened is that they just all of a sudden changed it, and then after another month they changed it again, so you don't know when they are going to change it or something. But currently there isn't any need of vaccination.
Okay.
So this is a very common question that I get, because according to their rules, you cannot go into the mataf unless you are in the condition of ihram. The rule is not that you can only go into the mataf if you are wearing the clothing of ihram. No, the ruling is you can only go into the mataf if you are in the condition of ihram. Now, if someone is not in the condition of ihram, they are not doing umrah, they have just worn on the clothing of ihram and they go in, then according to the rule, is that allowed? No, it's not allowed. Now, can the gods do anything or say anything? No, because they will look at a person wearing the ihram clothing thinking that the person is in the condition of ihram. Yeah, so they will let you go. But a lot of scholars have said that that is basically deceiving them and lying. So it's best not to do that. It's best to only go into the mataf whilst you are in the condition of ihram, not just wearing the clothing of ihram and deceiving them. Some scholars say it's okay because that's the only way you can go into the mataf and it's something that shouldn't be forbidden. But a lot of scholars say that it's best to just abide by the rulings and only go in whilst you're in the condition of ihram.
That's just in the mataf, not
in the mataf. Yeah, on the other floors you can go. It's just in the courtyard. But on the other floors you can go without ihram. You can do your tawaf.
Sheikh,
yes.
Can you tell us about the for people with disabilities like myself, what facilities are there?
Alhamdulillah, now over the past year they have made a lot of facilities for people with disabilities. For the Umrah as well, They have also got electrical wheelchairs for people, but then they've got special lanes as well. They've got special entrances, and this can all be found. They've made a map, you know, which they show that where the entrances are and all the facilities are in Masjid al-Haram and around Masjid al-Haram. Even going to hotels as well, they've made things easier, alhamdulillah. So the whole Umrah from beginning till end is done practically easy as the sa'i and everything. Ajay. Yes, you can take young children into Masjid Nabawi. Into Masjid Nabawi. Into Masjid Nabawi. Yeah, into Masjid al-Haram and Masjid Nabawi, children are allowed to go in. For namaz, yes, Ajay. The only restriction there is the going into the Jannat area, the Rawdha, min Riyadil Jannah, the Rawdhatul Jannah, the place where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was told by Allah Ta'ala that this is a garden from the gardens of paradise. So for that, a lot of people miss their opportunity because they don't know from before that you have to download the Nusuk app, and for every person you have to get a booking for that. So to benefit from that, make sure that you sort that out from before.
Jay. Following that last question, when I was in Oman last year, I met some people from back home in India, Pakistan, and they were asking me how they could actually enter into the order for themselves or people who don't own homes. So what would be the method for them?
If you find someone or you know someone who does not have a phone and they need to go into the Rawdha, then they need to speak to the guards, not at the doors of the Masjid Nabawi, but where the lining is, where the line is for going to the Rawdha. Those people, then they can sort something out. They can try to get a booking without the phone. But normally they ask, if you just go, and they will ask for the booking on the phone. But then there have been people who didn't have a phone, so they had to go through a different procedure.
They have a Nusuk help desk, right?
Sorry?
Nusuk help desk,
yeah. So that's where the entrance of the queue is for going to the Nusuk, going to the Rawdha. So it's the Nusuk help desk, Jay. If you got a problem with that, yeah. So gate 360, if you look for that, if you have any problem, then you can go there, inshallah. Jazakum.
Is it still the case to visit Riyadul Jannah once a year?
Yes. Last month, I think it was, they lifted that. But as far as I know now, they've put it back to 1 year. But that was because there was very less people, so there was a lot of opportunity to go in.
You mentioned the condition of the drug. So how would a person who wanted to go kiss the touch the Kaaba and then see the backs from the drug?
So this is something which technically is impossible now. So normally it's very virtuous kissing the black stone, touching the multazam, having your cheek and hands against the multazam, making dua, touching the rukna yamani. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he used to do tawaf, he touched the rukna yamani. That's why now, if you look at it, the outer court of the Kaaba, they haven't put down the rukna yamani. They've left it to the old bricks, because that's where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually touched it. But the thing is, now all those places have perfume on it. Now, in the condition of ihram, you cannot touch something with perfume. Now, I've found many people who have done that. They're all in the condition of ihram and they do that. They have found people who knew that they cannot do it, but they felt, oh no, you know what, my heart just felt like doing it. Is Islam a religion in which you do what your heart feels like doing, what your logic tells you to do? Or Islam is a religion that you have to go according to the commandments of Allah Ta'ala taught to us by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So it's not a religion of following your desires, no. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us that you cannot touch something that has got perfume on it in the condition of ihram, so you can't. Now, the question is, so when do you touch it? But the thing is, at the moment, you are not able to go into the mataf unless you're in the condition of ihram. If you're in the condition of ihram, then you cannot touch something which has perfume. So technically, there isn't any situation in which you will be able to. I myself provide the facility for dum for a lot of people, but apart from that, you get some shops like in a clock tower. If you ask around as well, then they would facilitate for that as well. And it's very important to find out. So many people come. Number one, they don't know the difference between the haram boundary and the miqat boundary. They don't know where it's compulsory to put your ihram on from. They don't know the actions that are counted as a small mistake. They don't know the small compensation, small penalty. They don't know the actions of big mistake. They don't know about the big penalty, big compensation. Some people have heard, or they gave, did them in this country or that country because it was cheaper. It's not counted. It has to be done within the haram boundary. So you need to find out about all these masail. So then when you're in Umrah, if you do a big mistake, then you know you have to give the big compensation, big penalty, the dam. And then you can try to find out how to give the dam. And as I mentioned, there are some shops like in a clock tower. If you ask, then you'll find. And if anyone has contact with me, then I can just sort it out for you as well, inshallah. Yes, brother.
There's a lot of virtues about praying in the Hadith, but I've noticed that they won't allow any people in at the minute. Is there any particular reason?
Reading in the Hatim is basically reading in the Kaaba, so it's great virtue, and it's something that all Muslims want to do. And before, they just had it open 24/7, anyone going randomly, going, come out, wherever. Now they set a timing that in the morning for the brothers, sometimes they set 3 hours, sometimes they set 4 hours. For the sisters in the evening at night, sometimes they set 4 hours, sometimes they set 5 hours. But then sometimes days go by where they just don't allow anyone to go in. And in the days where they do allow those 3-4 hours in the morning for men, 3-4-5 hours for the sisters at night, apart from that, the rest of the day, the other 18 hours, for some reason, is left totally empty. No one can go in to read. I personally cannot understand any logical reason or any benefit of leaving that empty for those hours. But when they do allow people to go in, then you need to line up from before. So for example, in the morning, 8 a.m., if they've set that time at that period for the brothers, then try to go around 7 o'clock and start lining up. So then once you're in the line, then you get your turn. They let you spend around roughly 10 minutes to read inside the Hatim and make dua. And that's the only time they will, if they allow at that period, that's the only time they will allow you to read inside the Hatim. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the opportunity.
Can you elaborate on the pillars of Umrah?
Ji?
The pillars of Umrah.
As it's going to be Adhan time now, I won't be able to go over the whole Umrah, but the main actions of Umrah is, number one, coming to the condition of Ihram before you pass the Miqat point. Coming to the condition, making the intention. And you need to read Talbiyah. A lot of people have said they've come into the condition of Ihram without reading Talbiyah. No, you have to read Talbiyah. Okay, and there's other things about coming into the condition of Ihram, but you make sure you do that. Once you make the intention, you read the Talbiyah, then you are in the condition, the things forbidden in Ihram are forbidden for you. And then you come into, past the Miqat point, past the Haram point, come into Makkah Mukarramah, you all the time abide by the rulings of Ihram. And in the actual Umrah, the two main parts are 7 times going round the Kaaba, 7 times going round is the one Tawaf, and in regards to that, there are many rulings. As I said, you need to learn about it, because many people do not know how to start the Tawaf and that. And then the other main important thing is Sa'i, from Safa to Marwa, Marwa to Safa. 1 time going that way is 1, and then 2, 3, 7 times. But again, in that as well, you need to learn the masail, learn the procedure, get the books, because you should be making dua on each place. Many people do not make dua in Safa, Marwa. Many people go there, they just see other people, and what other people are doing is wrong, but then that's how they do their Umrah. So make sure you abide by those points, so inshallah your Umrah is beneficial. May Allah Ta'ala grant me and all of you.
Do you have any numbers for like ziyarats or whatever? Some people
In terms of ziyarah or anything like that, because it's not something I can say out like that over here, over the mic. But after Salah, if anyone is planning on going for Umrah and anyone needs any assistance with anything at all, then inshallah I can assist them. So after Maghrib Salah, inshallah, I can meet you outside the Masjid Hall, inshallah. So if anyone does have any other further questions regarding Umrah, Makkah, Medina, then you may ask me after Salah, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala grant me and all of you the tawfiq. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wan. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah. Bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma. Bihamdi. Kunashadu. Wa la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله Oh. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
Please straighten the rows, ensure that the heels are in line with each other, fill in the gaps in front, and make sure you're standing close together. Safo kudurs formaliji. Istawu wa'tadilu. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد وإنه لحب الخير لشديد أفلا يعلم إذا بعثر ما في القبور وحصل ما في الصدور إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الرسل وخاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك ولك الحمد حمدا لا منتلها دون مشيتك اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا يا عليم علمنا ما لم نكن نعلم يا عليم اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك وعذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين
Today's collection is for Masjid Iqbal in Manchester. They urgently need about 300,000 pounds So we humbly requesting everyone please donate generously with your lillah donations. Jazakumullahu khairan.